Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey. This is Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, and I am Dan Hurst. And we are delighted that you are with us in this particular episode as we continue to talk about flickering lamps. And we are talking today about a subject that I am anxious to hear what Mark and Mark have to say. When I say and Mark, we're talking about our somebody who just...
Our regular guest is just, Mark Hallett.
I don't know if regular
is right. You guys can't
get
rid of me at this point.
He's got nowhere else to go. Mark has been with us for months now. But he's the pastor of the Calvary Church in Inglewood, Replant, that has replanted churches. Dan is here with me, and Kyle's running the board. And we're doing this series of podcasts from the Spurgeon Library at Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. And we're looking at Richard and Henry Blackaby's book, Flickering Lamps. Go to Blackaby Ministries International and take a look at it. It comes with a video series, and it is a great book to begin the revitalization conversation with your church. And we have already in the previous episodes. By the way, you might want to share these episodes with your church leadership and send them the link and say, you might want to listen to these. The first episode was Christ's purpose in his church. The second episode we did was Christ's plan. The third episode was Christ's presence. The fourth episode was Christ's power. And today we are talking about Christ's provision for his church.
Let me ask you something.
Yep.
How do you, first of all, define God's provision? Does it mean that you have everything that you want or even need? Or how do you define? Look at you guys pointing at each other.
You got it, this is your podcast. No,
It would be great. No, you take it. You know, it depends on your heart, right? Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things we think we need,
right,
but we don't need. Certainly, on one level, Christ has already provided for us, he has given us salvation. He has given us the Holy Spirit. God has given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us prayer. He's given us all of those things. So in that sense, Calvary provides it all. Mm. The cross provides it all. God has, in that sense, we've been provided for. I don't need Jesus in something else.
Yeah.
But when you're talking about a local church situation, you know, people are saying, you know, we have to do this replant. Well, there are certain things we need. Our building needs to be updated. It's about to fall in, or our air conditioner doesn't work, and we don't have any windows that can open, so we can't meet in here unless we get some work on the air conditioner. We would sure like to be able to serve our neighborhood and our communities, but we are so tight on money, we really don't have money to even go out and try to buy some things and serve the neighborhood and serve the community. How can we provide for them? I think that's kind of what we're talking about. I think it is in Flickering Lamps. In fact, I know it is. The Blackabees use this example of a church is having a business meeting. This is what we're talking about. Church has a business meeting, and the moderator says, you know, here's our report. We've lost several members this month, and our membership numbers are really, really down. And then the finance committee chairman gets up and he says, our reserves are completely gone. We have no more reserves. Our offerings are continuing to go down. And we're really going to be out of money in a few months unless something happens. And then the chairman of trustees stands up and says, well, I'm just going to have to tell you, our air conditioner units have finally gone out, and it's going to cost us thousands of dollars to fix them. And he said, at that very moment, the back doors of the church back there open, and down the center aisle walks the risen Christ exactly as he looked in Revelation chapter 1, with his sun face shining in full strength, his voice of many waters, the golden sash, his hair as white as snow, his feet like bronze. And the moderator says, just a minute, Jesus, sit down. We've got to figure out what we're going to do about this budget. Now, we know that's silly.
Yeah.
But that's what we're talking about here.
We do that, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Christ will provide for his church.
Yes, yep.
And our people have to get to the place that we understand that. So, currently, how would you describe your church? As you're listening to this, I want you to ask yourself, how do I describe my church? Are we weak? In other words, are we just not reaching anybody? Are we losing people? Is the presence of God not felt? Are we indeed weak? Are we poor? Are we rich? And what do you evaluate that on? Mm. And that's just what Dan asked me. What do you really need? What do you evaluate? Yeah. You can be financially poor as a church, but very, very rich.
That's right.
And I can give you lots of examples, and you can
too. And the flip side is also true.
Well, talk about the flip side.
Because you can have a lot of money. You can have a big building, and you can be vacant spiritually. In fact, what I would say is this. One of the things we've learned over the years at Calvary is if we are not in a place, this is partly why, again, what fuels church planting and replanting of other churches is the sending of people and resources out so that you actually have to trust God. Does that make sense?
Makes a lot of sense.
So in other words, the goal isn't to get to the place where you do not have to walk by faith anymore because now your budget is full. In fact, the goal is to grow in faith. And the only way you grow in faith is as you give away even more. And that's hard. That's countercultural, right? And so that has to be a value within the congregation that's led by the pastors, the leaders of that church. Because I'll tell you what, man, my nightmare, and we talk about this at Calvary all the time, is being a church that has a lot of people and a lot of money and is really beautiful in the eyes of the world, and the Spirit of God is no longer moving in power. And so how you lead and the decisions you make, how you spend money, how you don't spend money, is going to radically affect that, the movement of the Spirit of God in your church. And that's always been the case.
I will tell you that some of the most unhealthy churches I have been asked to work with are churches with very few people and churches that are in deep decline, but for a variety of reasons, they are not financially stressed. I know some churches that have done this. They've been a downtown church. They own a parking lot across the street or even a parking deck. Mm. So during the week, there's enough income from that parking deck that the church doesn't have to worry about its expenses. Or another church where someone perhaps died and left a tremendous amount of money, mm-hmm. and that money is put away, and they're off of that. And Lyle Schaller, the old Methodist consultant from another generation, used to say that money in the bank can be the death wheeze of a church. What are you saving it for? What are you putting it away for?
Yeah.
And you look at many churches that are rapidly growing and reaching people in new church plants. They don't have tremendous amount of money.
No, that's right. That's right.
Because people give that money in order for that money to be used, not to be put away and set aside. So you can have lots of money and lots of property and be very, very poor spirit. Or you can be very poor in property and poor in money and be very, very rich in spirit.
Yes.
So we talk about Christ's provision for his church. We're not talking about greenbacks, right? We're talking about giving the church what it needs fulfill the ministry that Jesus has given it. And maybe, probably, just in time for that, not ahead of time.
Yeah.
And we preach that in our personal lives. It's true in the church.
Yes.
But the problem is, for some reason, well, because we've not led well as pastors, our people don't really believe that Jesus will provide. So they've got to have a plan B. What are we going to do? Well, I know, Pastor, but we really got to figure out what we're going to do. Yeah. And that shows a lack of faith. And I think that prevents him. It is a risky thing to follow Christ.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is.
And there has to be a pattern of that. And do you really believe Christ will provide for this church?
And you know what? Just on a practical note, this is where I would encourage, if you're in a context like that, do some intentional teaching, not just one sermon or one Sunday school class, but be strategic in teaching on biblical faith. Part of this is if you have a church and they're believers, they've been reborn to live by faith. It's just that maybe that's been stunted, muted, maybe fear has crept in. And what I would say is, boy, if that's the number one priority, is you've got to help your people begin to not only fall in love with Jesus, but if you're going to fall in love with Jesus, you also need to have faith in Jesus. And so what is faith? What does it mean to walk by faith? And just use the word, man. Just use the word. Go to the word. Go to do a study of Hebrews 11. Look throughout, because at the end of the day, I have to believe that those who have been born again by the Spirit of God, they long to live by faith, but they've got to be sometimes directed aimed in that direction, whatever I'm trying to say.
Right. And yet your church, you have to ask the question, are we primarily self-sufficient? When I look back at our church's history in the last 5 or 10 years, basically, have we kind of done that all on our own? Mm-hmm. Is there any marker we could look at and say, if God hadn't provided that miraculously, it wouldn't have happened?
That's such a key.
That may be saying we are not living on risk. We're not following Jesus. We're trusting in our bank account. We're trusting in our wisdom. We're trusting in our budget. And, you know, it's kind of an old sermon illustration from a long time ago, but, you know, they're the disciples in the boat, right? Storm comes. They're hanging on to the side of the boat for dear life. And I think it was Jack Lord? Was that his name? Jack Taylor. Jack Taylor. Yeah. Jack Taylor was an evangelist from years ago. I remember Jack Taylor, he said this. He said, anything will work in the boat. You can stand up in the boat. You can sit down in the boat. You can run around in the boat. You can sing a song in the boat. You can have a committee meeting in the boat. Anything in the boat works. But the minute Jesus says, come, and you get out of the boat, the only thing that works is Jesus.
Wow.
He said, we've got a lot of churches that spend all their time in the boat, because they're not willing to step out of the boat. And really, trusting Christ's provision for your church is when Jesus says, come. Mm-hmm. And there's no real reason to go. It looks like for every reason you shouldn't.
Yeah.
But I love this. I think it was Jack Taylor who said this. And I was a kid, and I still remember it. Peter did not walk on the water. Peter stood on the word. And the word was come.
Yeah.
That'll preach. And that'll preach.
Believe me, it has.
Let me tell you a little story, and I'd love for you to react to this. This happened on a mission trip that I was on in Honduras. And the pastor of this little chapel that we were building, his name was Ismael. And Ismael was a very godly man, very, very solid in the word. I mean, he was an ardent student, didn't have all of the resources. Now, I always thought, man, that's just the wisdom of God, you know, the things that he sees and he understands. And I remember one night we would work all day long, and then we'd have a service at night. And at the service one night, I don't even know how we got onto the subject, but he was up in the pulpit. And it had something to do with, you know, the provisions for everything. Because when we would go on these trips, we would take stuff down there. We'd take tools and all the supplies and everything, and then we'd just leave it there. You know, we wouldn't bring any tools back. It was just gifted to them. And in the process, we would teach them how to use those tools and that sort of thing. So I think that it was one of those times when they were thanking us for that. But Ismael got up and he said this. He said, I have learned something very important, that I don't depend on the gifts of believers. I don't depend on the gifts of the Americans. He said, what I've discovered is I have everything that God needs. Mm-hmm. And I, whoa, mm-hmm. man, that really says it. And once our people get to that point where they recognize we have everything that God needs, mm-hmm. and if we don't, He provides it.
He'll give it to us.
That's right.
He'll never leave us. If, as we said so many times on this podcast, He will resource His plan for His church.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we have to trust Him to do that, and we have to live by faith in doing that. And, you know, one of the questions we should ask, if we're trusting Him or not, and you already brought it up, is your church characterized by a church that's willing to give itself away or hold on to what it has?
Yeah.
And, I mean, really, it's going to be one or the other. And, you know, I go back to the church at Jerusalem. We talked about this a couple of podcasts previous. They gave themselves away. Mm-hmm. They gave – every time you see Barnabas, he's a man full of grace and wisdom and the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
The one thing the church in Jerusalem needed was leadership, because Stephen had been killed. The leaders had been fled, and they were under persecution. But they heard about Antioch, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. The world was bigger than their church. Listen, I don't care if your church is dying. Your people have to get an idea that the world's bigger than their parking lot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love that. When Paul is writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy, and Timothy wants to leave because Paul says, I urge you to remain at Ephesus. So Timothy wants to leave. And, you know, people probably think he's too young. He's not experienced enough. It's probably not what he expected. And Paul tells him to stay. And he wants to stay to teach sound doctrine. Mm. And to teach people what's right. Don't leave. We always want to leave. We always want to go away. Later on, Paul's writing, and he's saying, here's how you revitalize church. Here's how you bring things back. First thing I want you to do is I want you to get men to lift up holy hands.
Mm.
Now, in prayer. Now, men, it would have been culturally that most people would have lifted their hands in prayer. That you can tell that. They do that, I think, by looking at some drawings and paintings that they've seen and stuff. That would have been but it's not enough to lift hands. Paul said, I want you to lift holy hands.
Holy hands, yeah.
And then this is the big one. And pray for the gospel to be known around the whole world. I think that's in Colossians. Pray for the gospel to be known around the whole world, he says.
Wow.
Now, pray big, audacious prayer.
Yeah.
Are you the kind of church that even though you're in decline and even though you're hurting, you can be like the church in Antioch. You can be like Barnabas, and you can rejoice when God chooses to bless Antioch while Jerusalem's under persecution. Yeah. Can your church rejoice when the church plant on the edge of town is busting at the seams?
Yes.
Second, also, can your church rejoice when God is moving across the continent of Africa, moving around the Pacific Rim? Can you celebrate that? Can you pray big, audacious prayers? God, reach the whole world when there's just 12 of you here in this building.
Yeah.
And I think when you begin to see it that way, God will provide what you could never. Your eyes get larger, your vision gets bigger, and then God can provide things for you. But if you have this narrow vision, you're just looking at your needs and your budget and your church and nothing else, and you think, we can't do anything until all of our needs are met, then you're probably not going to have your needs met by Christ.
Wow.
He's going to leave you to your own devices until you are ready to trust Him.
That's so good. That's so good.
What do you mean when, and you've said this many times, what do you mean about the idea that you're not going to have your needs met when Jesus said, or that you were taught in the Word, that my God shall supply all your needs? Is it the fact that we just don't know what our needs are?
Well, our needs are comfort, security, satisfaction, you know, safety. And so, you know, I would like to know that 6 months from now, we're going to be able to pay for this. That's my need. The reality is I don't need the money till it's due.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Corrie Ten Boom, when she was in the concentration camp and she was thinking about death every hour of every day, she began to remember what her dad said when she was a little girl. She asked her dad, what's it like to die? And he said, Corrie, when we take the train to Amsterdam, when do I hand you your ticket? And she said, just before the conductor gets to our seat. And he said, so it is with death. At the moment you need the grace to endure it, that's when God will give it to you.
Mm.
And God will give us what we need when we need it. Our problem is we'd like to have it right now so we don't have to worry about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's a lack of faith and a lack of trust.
Well, it comes back to the prayer that he taught us, you know, give us this day, our daily bread.
Yes,
you know?
Absolutely.
And man, have I prayed for my daily bread months and weeks and know, years in advance.
Right.
You know?
That's right.
Hey, I want to talk real quick about a way a church can put some real meat to these bones. Look, there is a reality that you know that last year your church took in $20,000 and that your insurance, your utilities, and paying your pastor is going to cost you $18,000 or $17,000 or whatever. That's just what it's going to cost. So that leaves you $2,000 or $3,000. You'll buy some literature. Hopefully you'll send your money to missions, your cooperative program and Annie Armstrong, or your cooperative program rather, and your associational missions, and you'll do some things like that. And that's it. And you realize that's what we took in last year, and probably that's what we're going to take in this year. And so what do? Do you just then say, well, we can't do anything else because our church doesn't have any more money? By the way, you might want to send this to some of your church members to listen to. Because obviously we don't have any more money.
Right, yeah.
I mean, you know, you have people in your church or in the business world, and they go, we can't spend what we don't have.
Yeah.
We can budget for it, but this is what we took in last year, the year before, and this is probably what we're going to take in this year. Okay, fine. But you spend some time in prayer and you seek Christ. And what if we had the money to do ministry, what might we really? And you don't just put up a list you haven't thought about. Pray about it. Seek God. And find some things that if you had the money, we would do these. If we had the money, we would help the school that's in deep need with some of their some school supplies. If we had the money, we would love to be able to buy enough Bibles that we could hang a Bible and an invitation to our church on every door at Christmas, on 5,000 doors. If we had the money, we would like to do these things. And so you go ahead and you create this budget and say, this is our budget of God, our faith budget. And then you people pray constantly, Lord, would you provide for that? And the exciting thing is, somebody will sell some stock or something in your church. Who knows what? Their grandparents dies and they get a little inheritance, and so they're going to tithe it, right? It happens from time to time. All of a sudden, now it's not just an extra $2,000 you get. It's like, look, we got money we didn't plan on. Mm-hmm. That doesn't go in our regular budget.
Yeah.
That goes over here into what could we do with God's budget.
Oh, that's good.
And then we say, look, God is funding these things.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, dear church, that is so important to do that. And you'll be amazed, too. When your people see that other budget, many of them are going to give above their tithe.
That's right.
They're going to give above their tithe. And God will provide through his people that way. Yeah. So God will always provide what we need to do his plan just when we need it.
Come on.
Christ will provide for
Amen.
His church.
Amen.
All right. We've got just, what, two more chapters on this? We've got Christ.
I believe one more.
One more. Just one more.
One
Christ's
more.
Preeminence in his church. So this is the Flickering Lamps podcast set, right?
Yes.
You can listen to all of them.
That's right.
Going through Richard and Henry's book, Flickering Lamps. And
buy it as a set.
Buy the whole podcast.
The whole podcast. Buy it as a set.
We'll get, yeah.
Six episodes.
We'll hey, but do subscribe to this podcast. And ask your children to subscribe and your neighbors. Subscribe for your dog. We have very low self-esteem on this podcast. And we're fearful that there are other podcasts at the North American Mission Board that are much more listened to than ours. Go ahead and subscribe to it. Because actually when you subscribe to it, it does get more information out there. It helps get the message out there. And in all seriousness, we really do want to help you and help church. We love pastors.
Yeah.
We love pastors of struggling churches. You have a brotherhood here. This podcast is for you.
Amen.
So subscribe to it so you're part of our team and share it with others. All right?
And don't forget to leave your questions and messages, things that you'd like to share with us. We love to hear from you. And pray for us as we prepare these. And know that God does lead us to pray for you. Our heart is with you. We know that some of you are really, really struggling. But it doesn't matter if you're struggling or not. We're still praying for you because we know that God is up to something in and through your life. And we hope to see you at the next episode.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.